Scripture reading this evening before Mike's lesson is Matthew, the 6th chapter. We'll read verses 1 through 8 and then verses 16 through 18. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Verses 16 through 18. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
This evening we have a couple of announcements we didn't make this morning. This is a note from Tatum Dotson. Tatum is a little 11-year-old. She sits right back here. She's a fifth grader. Tatum said, Tatum would like to invite all veterans and their family members of veterans to a concert at her school, Vienna Elementary School, Tuesday, November the 13th at 10 a.m. in the school gym. Please come. Love, Tatum. So that little note from Tatum. And if some of you can go, I think it would be wonderful. I'm sure she would enjoy seeing you. Also wanted to note that Dan Minks's father will have a heart cath on Tuesday. They're particularly concerned. They don't know what that will mean. It may mean they'll have to have some heart surgery, and he may go elsewhere to have that surgery. So keep him in your prayers. You'll remember we've been remembering his mother as well. And so he has both mother and father in need of our prayers and in need of some healing. So please keep that in mind. I ran across this wonderful story. A policeman pulled a driver aside and asked for his license and his registration. The driver said, "What's wrong, officer? I didn't run any red lights, and I know I wasn't speeding." And the officer said, "No, you weren't. But I saw you waving your fist at that lady who cut you off. She was in the left-hand lane and going slow, and you were angry at her, and you shook your fist at her. And then there was that fella in that Hummer who cut you off, and you yelled at him, and you were red in the face. And then you came up to the bridge, and there was construction on the bridge, and you were beating your fist on the steering wheel. And then when I got a little closer, I saw your bumper sticker. And the bumper sticker said, 'Jesus loves you, and so do I.' I knew the car had to be stolen, so I pulled you over." I guess you can see the whole idea there. He's a bit of a fraud, and you can see the hypocrisy on the part of the man. And I think that's significant. Jesus began this little section about this hypocrisy in verse 1 by warning them about doing their acts of righteousness to be seen by others. And then he will move very quickly to discuss four areas where he's seen that hypocrisy on the part of those round about him. He begins, "Beware of practicing your righteousness before men to be noticed by them, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who's in heaven." And he's going to say later on, you get all the reward you're going to get because they're going to see you and they may praise you, but there's some hypocrisy that is here at hand. The next issue for him is the giving to the needy. Among the rabbis, it's really quite interesting. For them, giving to the needy was above all of the commandments in the Old Testament. It was the most important thing you could do to gain favor with God and to gain favor with others. And so you should give to the poor. In fact, the only thing better than it was meditating on the Torah, spending time studying Scripture. Other than that, that's the greatest thing you could do. And so here we go. So when you give to the poor, don't sound the trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets so that they may be honored by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing so that your giving may be in secret and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, some folks were in it for the show. And I don't know whether Jesus is using a bit of a hyperbole here, whether there's anybody who literally sounded the trumpet when they came to give. But you do see folks, Jesus will see folks coming to give, and they're putting their money in, and their money are big coins that will make lots and lots of noise. And then along comes that widow who gives the two smallest coins, and Jesus will say she gave more than all the rest, because she gave everything. Jesus here talks about the hypocrites. And that's an interesting word. It's a word that is used in the theater to talk about an actor who plays a part. You see, a lot of folks play the part of being religious and play the part of being a good Jew in Jesus' day or a good Christian today, but really it's playing a part. They have all this fanfare so that folks will see them, but they really aren't really doing it from the heart. Jesus uses this wonderful illustration about not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. I've heard of churches where they misunderstood that text and they would pay the preacher. Everybody gave money back then, no checks back in those days, and the money was all put in a basket, and the preacher, they would tell the preacher, close your eyes and reach in, and whatever you get, that's your salary for this week. So whatever you get, you're not letting your left hand know what your right hand is doing. That's clearly not the point. Jesus is simply saying, this being pretentious, doing it for the show, is the wrong reason. It's a rather graphic illustration of that. Your giving should be performed in secret, so only your Father knows what is done. I know of folks who are really careful about giving in secret. They make wonderful contributions, but they don't want anybody to know they've done it. And I appreciate folks like that. You see, they're taking very seriously what Jesus says here. The next issue of hypocrisy that Jesus talks about is what we could call ostentatious prayer. Verse 5 assumes they're going to pray. When you pray, notice he assumes they're going to do it, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room and close the door and pray to your Father who's in secret, and your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Again, some of the folks would go to the synagogue, and if you went to the synagogue, there was an ark. The ark back then in the synagogues was the place where they would store all the manuscripts. And the person of most honor would stand in front of the ark, and he would offer his prayer, and he would do it for the show. And Jesus is saying there's something wrong with that. Some of the folks would stand on the street corner and pray out loud so that everybody who passed would hear them. He sees this hypocrisy there, and he says they've done it to be seen by men. He's not here forbidding public prayer. The early church clearly didn't see that. But one is concerned if somebody prays more in public than they do in private. If they're only praying when folks will see them, and they're not doing anything in private, there's something to be called into question there. There needs to be that private time of prayer, and Jesus makes a big deal of this. He says, instead of doing it for the show, you'd be better off going to your private room, your storeroom, the room at the back of the house where nobody will see you, because your Father who sees in secret will reward you. It's interesting because he will say in all of these cases, some folks are going to get all the reward they're going to get by getting the praise of people, because God isn't going to reward them for their behavior. The hypocrisy is very serious. The third issue that he sees is when people pray who are using meaningless repetition, these repetitious prayers. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them, for your Father who knows what you need before you ask Him. It's really quite interesting. Again, there are some folks who think that praying long, long prayers is what's going to get you heard by God, maybe. It may come from the kind of pagan background, because among the pagans, they were convinced the longer the prayers, the more likely you were to be heard by their gods. Literally, he says they keep on babbling. They use this meaningless repetition. It's the word for babble. He's not condemning prayer any more than he's condemning almsgiving or fasting down in verse 16. He's forbidding prayers or repetition. Jesus himself sometimes prayed all night long. And you see, he's not forbidding that. And in fact, sometimes he even repeats himself. Here's a verse from Matthew chapter 26, verse 44. This is when he's gone to the garden. You remember he goes to the garden and he leaves the disciples outside and he comes back and sees them sleeping and he goes and prays some more and he comes back and sees them sleeping. Here's the third time. And he left them again and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same thing once more. There's nothing wrong with repeating yourself when you pray. But repeating repetitious prayers just for the show of it are meaningless. And he says there's a misconception that mere length will make a prayer good. The pagan gods were supposed to be thrilled with the incantations and the repetition. But that's not like God. He says, God knows what you need even before you ask. It's not as if he needs to be reminded of that. He knows that. He understands that. As a father knows the needs of his family, yet teaches them to take confidence and trust him, so God treats his children. He knows what we need, and he cares about us. The last thing, a bit of hypocrisy that Jesus sees, is fasting. Whenever you fast, do not put on a gloomy face as the hypocrites do, for they neglect their appearance so that they may be noticed by men when they are fasting. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that your fasting will not be noticed by men, but by the Father who's in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. According to the Old Testament, there was really only one day a year that you had to fast. The one day that everybody was required to fast was the Day of Atonement. And everyone was supposed to fast that day. But it's interesting because during the exile, while they were off in Babylonian captivity, they began to do regular fasts and ask folks to regularly fast. They kind of missed the whole purpose of it. There were some of those national fasts for them. In addition to the national fasts, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, there are some times when groups of folks will fast and not eat. But I think we sometimes miss the significance of that. Oftentimes, folks are fasting because they don't take time to eat because they're too busy praying. And the fasting is almost secondary, or is secondary, to the praying. It's the praying that matters. They fast because they don't take time to eat. They're too busy and too concerned about it. You see, the folks in the early church sometimes fasting. They're about to send out, in the book of Acts, they're about to send out from Antioch missionaries. They've got five men who are great teachers in the church, and they've got to pick two of those men to be their missionaries, to send out to the world around them and to preach the gospel. And so they will pray and fast because they're making an important decision. Prayer is always connected to prayer, and frequently it's a time of decision, or maybe a time of anguish. I'm hurting, or a time of facing danger, or maybe even just being desperate. You know, when you feel like giving up, it's a time to perhaps fast and spend some time in it. Unfortunately, these folks have these purely formal and largely hypocritical fasts. In Jesus' day, it's really quite interesting because the Pharisees made a rule that you had to fast 2 days a week, every Monday and every Thursday. Every Monday and every Thursday you fast. Now, it's really interesting. You fast during the day and then you pig out at night, but you fast during the day. But for them, that was a big deal. It's interesting because some of the folks in the early church misunderstood that. There's a work called the Didache. And in the Didache, the author of the Didache says, I don't want you to be like the hypocrites. They fast on Monday and Thursday. You fast on Wednesday and Friday. See, that somehow misses the point, doesn't it? That doesn't get it. By the way, that may be the reason that if you have good Roman Catholic friends, that on Fridays they eat no meat. It may go back to that time and that time period. But it's interesting that they took it and misunderstood it. There were some devout people who would frequently fast. Anna, for example, you meet in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus goes, when they take Jesus as a baby, she is a lady who fasts. Unfortunately, voluntary fasts can end up with showmanship. Some folks will disfigure themselves, will frown, not wash their face, not shave, put ashes on their head, anything to show off the fact that they're fasting. And Jesus will say, wash your face, put some oil on your head, and dress like you normally would. Don't show that fasting to anybody else. He's not forbidding fasting, but he is saying you don't do it for the show. I think that's important for us to see. You see, there's a real danger because we see hypocrisy on the part of everybody else around us, but we never see our own hypocrisy. But all of us, I think, at times slip into that kind of hypocrisy. We do things so that folks will see that we're doing them, rather than because we're doing it because that's what God asks us to do, because we want to be His. Later on, Jesus will say, seek God's kingdom first and His righteousness, and all the stuff you worry about will be taken care of. Empty worship is showmanship. Doing it for the show. And so there's a call for us not to be like those folks. Jesus saw it on the part of the Pharisees around Him, and He's telling His disciples, don't be like them. He would tell us the same thing. What we do, we need to make sure is not for the show. I've heard folks who do flowery prayers, but then during the week they use foul language at work, and there's something wrong with that. Somehow they've missed the significance of what it means to pray to God and to have a God who calls for the right heart. If there's anything that we've seen so far in the Sermon on the Mount, it is Jesus' call for us to have the right kind of hearts. We've seen that over and over, haven't we? We're going to work our way through more of the Sermon on the Mount on Sunday evenings, and I hope you'll be back to hear some more of those lessons. It's been meaningful for me, I hope it is for you as well, to work through this Sermon on the Mount, to hear these words of Jesus. It still amazes me that that whole Sermon on the Mount took 20 minutes, 30 minutes for Him to say, and you know, I've now done four sermons from it. And we did eight from the Beatitudes, but we've had lots and lots of lessons already from the Sermon on the Mount. But I think they're important for us. I encourage you to read through again Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as we work our way through those texts. As always, we like to give folks an opportunity to respond if they need to in any way. If they need to become Christians or they need to rededicate their lives in service, we like to give folks that opportunity whenever we gather together. And if you need to do that, we'd bid you to do so as we stand and sing this song.